And we're holding on to page 64 in Chagigah, still the middle of the very long Oth Yud. We're in the middle, actually, of the Gemara had been dashening a series of psukim in Sefer Yeshaya, because we mentioned earlier in the sugya that in order for a person to learn Maisa Merkava, he has to have certain qualifications, which are based on one of the psukim over there. So the Gemara was going through where Yeshaya is saying that there's going to come a point when various kinds of things are going to be missing from the Jewish people, and the Gemara has been going through and dashening that each of these refers to people who have certain, of certain caliber, people who have certain abilities in Torah, and now each of those is going to at some point be lost from the Jewish people. So we're holding about 10 lines down, Yoyet Zeshi Yedea, on page 64. So we said that, So the list, so far we went through a bunch of the things in Yeshaya's list. Then he continues Yoyetz, that the next one that's going to be lacking from the Jewish people at some point is going to be a Yoyetz, an advisor. And what does that mean? That refers to somebody who has the ability to declare leap years and to declare new months, meaning that he knows all the intricate calculations that go into Kiddush HaChodesh and Ibur HaShanah. What does that have to do with Yoyetz? So Pashtos, the point is, in other words, that Yoyetz is somebody who's able to give advice, and here, in other words, Namar Shah points out, in other words, that here you can have Eitzah and Milad Alma as well, but here, everything else that we've been saying so far, we're doubting as some ability in Torah, therefore understanding that it means that he's able to give Eitzah in an important area of Torah that not everybody is familiar with, namely Kiddush HaChodesh and Ibur HaShanah. Another point as well, Eitz Yosef points out that we find in Divrei Yomim, we have the story there where Chizkiyahu, we learned back in Psachim, that there were three among the things that Chizkiyahu did that were that were controversial among the Chachamim of his times, was he declared an Ibriyar where they felt he shouldn't have, either that he declared it on Lamed Adar and they said you're not supposed to at that point, because conceivably that could be Aleph Nissen, or that he did it with Bnei Atumah because many people were Tomei and wouldn't be able to bring the Korban Pesach in time, and he wanted to have a massive new start with a fresh start with a Korban Pesach with everybody coming. Either way, the Chachamim disapproved of it, but it uses the expression in the pasuk over there, "Vayivatz Hamelach," that the king took counsel and decided to do this. So we see the word Yoyetz is associated with Kiddush HaChodesh and Ibur, in that particular case with Ibur Shana. Next. The next thing in the pasuk is actually, in the pasuk you have the two next words are together. Chacham Haroshim. Chacham is in a, not chacham with two comments, which would be a separate word, but chacham, which means a chacham of. So the simple meaning of chacham paroshim means a wise person of secrets or something like that. But here the Gemara breaks up the two words into two. Chacham or chacham, the Talmud HaMachin Mesraboisai. The word chacham in that chacham, in that pasuk, refers to a Talmud who's able to make his rebbeim smarter. Because he asks good questions, and that brings out a much higher level of learning, as we learned in Tainis, where Rav Chanina said that I learned from my Mitamida Yosi Mikolam. So that would be Chacham, and Choroshim, the next word in the pasuk, Choroshim, Zeshen Nasser, Acholophon of Kecherishim, Beshoshi Peseach, Begiver Torah. This is a Talmud Chacham of such a caliber that everybody else becomes like mute in front of him when he starts speaking words of Torah, because nobody else is able to speak up and be able to say anything as great as he is. So like he has the final word on the subject. So even though, again, the pasuk it makes it sound like it's one thing, but the Gemara is davening as two different milas. Otsa Bolum on the side over here discusses, and then there's a further footnote on it, that we can understand Chacham Haroshim as basically meaning that we can still understand the word Chacham as a Samuch, as meaning the Chacham of, so it means that he has that effect on the Haroshim, that he learns under the Haroshim, the great Talmud Chacham of the caliber, where when they speak, then nobody else has what to say, and he in turn is machking them and brings them to even greater heights. So in that way, we're able to understand that way we're not having to change the nikud of the words in the pasuk and the grammatical function of the words, and yet we have that the Gemara can douch in it as two separate mitzvahs. Next, unavoin. Again, in the pasuk you have the words unavoin lochash are put together, and literally it means somebody who's able to understand whispered things, but again, the Gemara breaks it up into two mitzvahs. the Na'unvon, Zahamevin Dovim, it takes Dovim. A Navon refers to somebody who is able to understand one thing from another. So you give him some facts, and he's able to understand new facts and new ideas from them. That's the difference, after all, between Chochma and Bina. And Lachash, Zasharoy, Limsa, Le Dibre Torah, Shenitna Balachash. And when it says Lachash, refers to a person who's of the caliber that you can give him over the kind of Dibre Torah that has to be given over in a whisper, such as Ma'aseh Merkava, which is the whole subject of the Sugya. So far, Yeshaya has been saying in these psukim that Hashem is saying, there's going to come a point when people of such caliber, with all of these different milas that he says, are going to be removed from Yerushalayim. Then he continues in the next pasuk, Nasati Na'orim Sorehem, as Hashem says, I will make Na'orim be their princes. Now, the simple meaning of Na'orim just means young men. But okay, what's wrong with that? Sometimes, if you can have good, smart people who are young. The Gemara doesn't mention it over here, but to give an example, there's a Yerushalmi that mentions one of the Chachamim, Rabbi Yossi Rabbun, who passed away at 28 years old, and Rabbi Yochanan gave a hesped on him and said he was able to accomplish in Torah in 28 years what most people couldn't in 100. So lav dafka, because the person is young, means that there's something wrong with him. Therefore, the Gemara has to understand the word na'orim doesn't stand mean that they're young. It means, Amar Rabbi Elazar, b'nei adam shem na'orim min ha-mitzvahs. These are people who are shaken out, who are empty of mitzvahs. So they're going to be sorehem, they're now going to be the leaders of the Jewish people. And the pasuk continues, the same pasuk continues, v'sa'alulim yimshalubam. Now, the simple meaning of sa'alulim is like tricksters or mockers, like asheri salalti b'mitzrayim. But the double expression, the fact that you have a double lamed in there, it means, it means foxes, the sons of foxes. In other words, the word talulim, we're not darshaning as being from the shurdish olal, like a sheri salalti b'mitzrayim. Rather, we're taking the tuf as part of the shurdish and associating it with the word tala in Aramaic, which is the equivalent of shul in Lashon Kodesh. So it means these are foxes, the son of foxes. So in other words, they're very lowly. You have in Pirkei Avos, have a son of La'arayus, Ba'alti Yigosh La'shu'olim. So these are like the foxes among the foxes themselves, the lowest of the low. Another point is that foxes are also very sly creatures, so it means that they're going to be like that as well. So that's Salul. Now, we said before that so far we had 18 klolos that Yeshaya said on the Jewish people. Well, then he scattered a daita, but he still didn't calm down, and it still wasn't, even mind wasn't appeased, Ad Sha'amalahem Yirhav Wanarav, until he continues with the end of the pasuk that we quoted before, that the young will feel themselves proud against the elders, and the Nikla, the degraded, will feel important relative to the Nishbud, to the important. We talked about when we learned at the beginning of this on Thursday why it is what is Yeshaya, some kind of Soni Yisrael Chas V'Shalom, that he has to give all a whole bunch of klolos before he feels better. And he said Maharsha explains that because then once you have that, this Yirav Anar Bazakin, then it shows that Mashiach is very close, because that's one of the simanim of Ikvus and Mashiach. Another point is because then that tells him that the fact that people aren't listening to him is not his fault. It's not that it's not Dvorim Ayotzim and Alev. It's rather that itself is part of the klola, and there are a variety of other explanations along lines like that, or like others, that he realized, in other words, that this is all part of the Gzeira Min HaShemayim, and therefore it made him feel better that this is like it can't get any worse than that, basically. Anyway, so what's this my year of Wanar Bazakin? So what does it mean the young are going to feel proud against the elders? So again, given that the Nasaki Na'orim Sarehem, we just established, doesn't mean Na'orim as in young people, then we have the right, says Maharsha, to assume that the year of Wanar also doesn't mean actually young people, but rather it means something that are missing something. So it means, my year of Wanar Bazakin, Yavoyu Bnei Odom Sheminu Orim Min HaMitzvahs. There's going to come people who are empty of mitzvahs. The year have one, they're going to feel, and they're going to pride themselves over the Misha Moli Mitzvahs Keridim, against those who are full of mitzvahs like a pomegranate. So that's the year of Wanar Bazakin. My Vanikla Vanichba, then when the pasuk continues, the Zakin is the Zakin, Konach Hazesh, Konach Hachman, is full of mitzvahs. And my Vanikla Vanichba, what does it mean? The degraded is going to feel himself proud over the honorable, which is the simple meaning of the pasuk, means yavoyu mishachamuris doimus lahem tekalos, people who treat serious averus as though they're minor ones, van nikla. They think that, oh, that even the most serious mitzvahs are only nikla. They're nothing. Maloshin kal. They're going to come, the you have one, they're going to feel proud when mishachalos doimus aleim kachamuris against people who the other way around, who realize that even the smallest mitzvah, even the seemingly least important mitzvah, is very, very serious. So van nikla, they treat all mitzvahs with kavod, and also kavod in the lashon heavy, and they're going to, the nikla, the people who think that all mitzvahs are light and unimportant, are going to feel themselves, are going to pride themselves, and lord it over the nikla, the ones who are the other way around. So then, when Yeshaya said that, then niskara daito, for the various reasons that we discussed, why that made him feel better, that he has to say such a thing on the Jewish people. So now the Gemara continues to douche in the next couple of psukim over there in Yeshaya. So Omer of Ketina, Afilu b'shas kishloina shal Yerushalayim, even at the time when Yerushalayim stumbled, even at the time of the Churban, lo posku mimenu anshei amana, there never ceased to be honest people in Yerushalayim. Shenemar, and here we have the following psukim right after that in Yeshaya. The psukim continue, ki yispos ish ba'achiv beis aviv, a person is going to grab a hold of his brother, meaning his relative, from a member of his father's household. The word lamer is in parenthesis. It doesn't actually say the word lamer in the passive. Simla l'chava. Yeah. Simla l'chava. He's going to say, so let's first translate the psukim in the simple sense, and again, then we'll go through how the Gemara is going to doubt him. The simple sense is that a person is gonna grab a hold of his forever, of his relative, and he's gonna say, Simla lecha, you have a garment, kotzin tiyalanu, so you should be a leader for us, and these stumbling blocks for society are in your hand, meaning you have the capability of doing something about them. So then the next pasuk continues, Yisa bayemahu, the person is gonna lift up, which the Gemara is going to explain, means a Loshen Shavua. Lemon is going to say, Loi e Yechoivish, I will not be an imprisoner, meaning the Mephoshim on the Pasuk explained. Parshat Pshat means, in other words, a leader, a community leader, sometimes has to imprison people when they're not doing what they're supposed to. So I'm not going to be that kind of person. Over Vesi and Lechem Vein Simla, and there's no bread and no clothing in my house. Loi Sisimoni Ksin Am, don't make me a leader of the people. So the Parshat Pshat is exactly that you're going to have people. They're going to grab a hold of anybody and say, at least you have something, you have honorable garments, you have a look of a leader about you, become our leader. And the guy's going to say, no, you're wrong, I have nothing of the sort. But now, the Ketina is going to explain that it means not that they're talking about the ruch, about the gashmiyistika advantages that they think this person has, but rather the ruchmiyistika ones. One point is, because this Gemara is also in Shabbos, Marsha points out over there, I mean, if it was just a matter, how could they make such a blatant mistake? If the guy is saying, I don't have any simla, then how are they telling him simla l'cha? So therefore, it has to be that there's more here than meets the eye. So what it is like this. So they're saying, simla l'cha, you have a simla, a garment, cuts into your lanu, you should be a leader of ours. That means, dvarim shemnei adam miskasim dehem kasimla, things in Torah that people cover themselves with like a garment, yeshman tachas yodecha, you have them ready at hand. So you have people usually, in other words, would hide. They're afraid that people are going to ask them on these topics in Torah because they're not familiar with them. But you have them ready at hand and you're able to explain them right off the bat. And when v'machshela hazoyis, and they continue this machshela, my v'machshela hazoyis, dvarim she'in b'nei adam omdim aleim elin ken nichshelu b'hem. You have things in Torah where a person doesn't understand them fully until he stumbles over them. Meaning, in other words, that you have a Talmud, for example, is learning something once, twice, and the first couple of times he's not getting it right. Then eventually, after he learns it a few times, he starts understanding. Sometimes you even have also where he might actually say it wrongly the first few times, and then he gets corrected repeatedly, and eventually it sinks in to say it the right way. So they tell him that this machshela hazos, these things and difficult things in Torah that people often stumble over at the beginning, she'ein b'nei adam omdim aleim elin ken nichshelu b'hem, this is the kind of things where people don't usually understand until they've stumbled over them a few times. Yeshen and tachas yadecha, they're under your hand, meaning they're right ready at hand to you. So they're telling him in short, in other words, that you know all kinds of deep air and complex areas in Torah that we don't know, therefore cuts into Yalanu. You should be our leader, the Ruchnis. And the pasuk, the next pasuk continues, Yisa bayomahu lemer, he will lift up on that day and say, Loi e yachoivish, that I will not be a choivish. Now again, in the simple meaning, choivish means like I won't be a judge who sentences people to jail. But first of all, ein yisa el shrua, the word yisa means that he's going to lift up, means that he's going to say a shrua. He's going to swear to the following. When he says loy eya choivish, I will not be a choivish. My loy eya choivish, loy eya or loy hoyisi me choiv shebes medrash. I was never one of those people who was locked up, who was imprisoned in the Beis Medrash. In other words, you can look at it, a person who spends, who's kvetching the bank block there in the Beis Medrash, it's as if like he's in prison there, he's stuck there on the bench, so to speak. So he's saying, I've never been that kind of person. I've never been used to being that kind of person who spends much time in the Beis Medrash. Eitz Yosef points out, in other words, don't think that loy eya is in future tense, I will not be, implying in the past I used to learn in the Beis Medrash, but now I'm not going to be anymore. No, it means I've never been. I've never been that kind of person. And Ovevesi and Lechem Vein Simla, when he continues, in my house there's no bread and no garment, that means Shein V'yodi, Le Mikra, Le Mishnah, Le Talmud. I don't have any familiarity with Tanakh or Mishnayos or Gemara, which are represented respectively by Lechem and Simla. So the point is, what Katina is saying, you see, that people were honest. People wouldn't take on themselves a name that they know Torah when they really don't. So therefore, so we see that that's a milah that Yeshaya is saying. As bad as things got, nevertheless, he always had Anshei Amon. The question is, why? The Dilma Shiny Hossam. Why? Maybe that's not necessarily a matter of honesty. It's different over there. The Omelu Gemirna. If he were to tell them, I do know, Amulei, then they would tell him, Amalon. Well, then very well, tell us something in Torah. And he wouldn't be able to. And then he'd be embarrassed. So maybe he's saying that not so much because he's honest, because he doesn't want to get caught out in a lie. But the Gemara says, no, Havala the Memon, Gomor Vashochach. If it was just that, he could have claimed that he used to know it, that he learned it previously, and then he forgot it. My loy eya choivish, when he says, I'm not a choivish, I've never been, means loy eya choivish klal, means I've never been that kind of person who sits in Beis Medrash, so that shows that he has honesty. That shows that it's not just a matter of avoiding being caught out in a lie, he's genuinely telling the truth that he never has been a Talmud Chacham. So the Gemara says, Eini. So is that so? So you're telling me that even at the time of the Churban, there were honest people in Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim was not destroyed until people of Amona, people of honesty, had ceased from it. Shenema, as the pasuk says, Shoit to b'chutzis Yerushalayim. Yumiya says, go and wander around the streets of Yerushalayim. Uruna, and take a look. Udu'u, and know. And search around in its squares. Im tinsu ish, if you're going to find a single person. Im yesh oisa mishpat mevakesh emunah, are you going to find a single person who does justice and who looks for truth? The eslach love, and Hashem says, I'm willing to forgive Yerushalayim on that basis if there's even one person of that caliber in Yerushalayim. But in other words, Hashem is saying there's not, and therefore there's going to have to be a chur. So you see, nobody is looking for emunah. So what are you telling me? There's always anshe emunah. And the answer is, like Hasha, haba divrei Torah, haba masa umata. There's a difference between what kind of amunah, what kind of honesty are we talking about. As far as divrei Torah, people were still honest. That was what Katina's drasha. Haba masa umata, and as opposed to in business, not everybody, there weren't people that were honest at the time of the Churban. And in fact, Maharsha points out, the Gemara is also in Shabbos, Maharsha points out there, you see it in the respective psukim, because you see the pasuk in Yirmiyah is saying, go out and look in the streets and the squares, in other words, which are places where business takes place. So in the business world, you won't find any honest people. But when it comes to Torah, then Rav Katina is saying you will find on the basis of the pasuk in Yishai. Okay. So Haba Divrei Torah of Masamat, Divrei Torah Havu, when it comes to Divrei Torah, there were people who were honest and who would be willing to admit that they never learned, rather than trying to get away with the excuse that they did learn and then they forgot it. The Maso Matan Lai Havu, but when it came to Maso Matan, there weren't such people. Okay. Getting back now, so now we basically were done with discussing the actual Maisa Merkava, the details of the Chayas HaKodesh and all that. Now the Gemara is going to tell a couple of stories in that regard of Chachamim who got involved in learning and teaching Maisa Merkava. Eventually we're going to have, we'll learn tomorrow about the Shem about the Abosh and Nichnas or the Paradise, but before we get to that. So Tanabon, Maisa Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, Shayor Reich Valachamur, Yotzim Yerushalayim. It happened once. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was riding on a donkey and leaving Yerushalayim. The Girsa and the printed Gemaras is V'hoyim Mahalach Baderech. He was traveling on the road. It could mean when he was leaving Yerushalayim before the Churban, when he told the Aspasionis ten the Yavne v'Chachamah, or it could mean Stam they were going on a trip outside Yerushalayim in the time when the Bais Hamikdash was still standing. Anyway, V'hoyim Rav Elazar ben Aruch Talmidim Hamer Achrav Luma Turim Epi. Rav Elazar ben Aruch, his Talmud, was leading the donkey from behind him in order to have a chance to learn Torah from his Rebbe. But in other words, even though Rabbi Elazar ben Aruch himself was a distinguished Talmud Chacham, he's willing to even go and be a donkey driver, he can be with his Rebbe on the road and learn Torah. So he says, Rebbe, Shnevi Terek Echad B'Maisim Erkava. Teach me a section in Maisim Erkava. Omaloy, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai says, Ni loy kach shanisi lachem. Haven't I previously taught you what it says in our mission of loy b'merkava v'yachid, that you don't teach the ma'aseh merkava even to an individual Talmud Chacham by himself, elin ken hayo chacham mevin midaitoy, unless he's a chacham who's able to understand it on his own. So I can't teach it to you, in short. Omaloy, so Rabbi Elazar ben Aruch says, Rebbe, tarsheni loy malafanecha mima udover echad shalom antoni. Fine, Rebbe, at least give me permission to tell you over one thing that you taught me. Now, one way of understanding it is, if Rabbi Yechim and Zakkai just said, I can't teach it to you because you're not yet a chokhom mevin midaita, then what does he mean that you taught me? So Marsha gives a couple of explanations. Marsha's first explanation we'll leave for the end of the story, but the other explanations he says is either it means Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai had taught him the Roshei Prakim, which as we said before, according to many Rishonim, you can teach the Roshei Prakim even to a person who's not of the caliber of Chacham Mevin Midaitai, and then if he understands the rest himself, then good. So therefore, the Roshei Prakim, and now Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah is proposing to go further and tell over what he understood on his own based on those Roshei Prakim. The other way of understanding it is that Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai hadn't taught it to Rabbi Elazar ben Aruch at all. But it's derech eretz for a Talmud when he's going to say something over in front of his Rebbe to say what you taught me, even if he hadn't actually learned it from him. So Rabbi Elazar ben Aruch had learned it from some other Rebbe, or he'd learned it all on his own or whatever, but now he's using this expression, Shalim Antoni, out of derech eretz for his Rebbe. Anyway, Omalei Emor, so Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai says, go ahead, say. Miyad Yored ben Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai min achamor. Right away, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai got off the donkey, v'nis atef, and he wrapped himself up like he would do to show respect for the Eibishter. V'yoshev ala even achas tachas azayis. He sat on a stone under an olive tree, and Marsha points out the significance in that. It's not Sam a description so we can draw ourselves a picture in our mind of what it looked like. The stone symbolizes the same way as by Moshe Rabbeinu, where he sat on a stone. And under an olive tree represents the light of Torah, as the if a person sees olive oil in a dream, he can look forward to being able to achieve the light of Torah. So therefore, in token of that, Rabbi Yochanan is sitting under an olive tree. Omalei Rebbe Mipnama Yirad to Minachamur. So Rabbi Elazar ben Aruch asks him, Rebbe, why'd you get off the donkey? Omaloi, so Rabbi Yochanan says, "Extra at the Dorish Ma'aseh Merkava. How would it be possible otherwise? You're going to be teaching Ma'aseh Merkava. Ushchina imanu Malach Asharis Malavanei Son. The Shchina is with us, and Malach Asharis are accompanying us." Which Marashal says doesn't just mean that the Shchina and the Malach Asharis are going to come now in honor of the event. It means that actually that the Shchina is already with us, and Malach Asharis are already accompanying us on the road because as we're learning Torah, they want to hear what we're learning. So now, all the more so that you're going to be teaching Ma'aseh Merkava, Vani Erkav Al Chamer. I should be riding on a donkey. It wouldn't be right. It wouldn't be Derech Eretz. So one point behind it is Parshat that riding on a donkey represents that a person is on a higher, is holding himself higher. So in front of the Shechina and in the face of Ma'aseh Merkava, he should be getting down onto the ground. There's a vort on it. There was a famous Yid a few hundred years ago named Rabbi Yosselman of Rosheim. You have Marcus Lehmann wrote an entire book about what he accomplished for the Jews of Germany in his times. He was a major Shtadlan. He went and talked to kings and emperors and princes and bishops and whatnot to work on behalf of the Yid. And he was also a Talmud Chacham. He wrote a sefer, parts of which have been published. And he mentions this Gemara. And in that he says the vote is Chamur represents Chumrius. That represents the materiality and the physicality of this world. So therefore, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai is saying it's not appropriate that I should be involved at all with the chumrius of the world when you're going to be talking about Ma'aseh Merkava. So miyad posach Rabbi Lozman Arosh and Ben Arosh v'dorash ma'isim erkava. Then Rabbi Lozman Ben Arosh started giving his drosha in ma'isim erkava. Yoda eish min hashemayim. At that point, a fire came down from Shemayim. The sichsecha is the girsay in Ein Yaakov, which would mean that it's sibj. The girsay in the printed Gemara is the sibra. It's surrounding. As kol yilonis shavasada, all of the trees in the field where they were sitting. Maushal says what we have over here was like this. There was a combination of Maisa Bereshis and Maisa Merkava. Because after all, we had in the Mishnah that Maisa Bereshis is a prerequisite for Maisa Merkava. Therefore, they had the fire of the Maisa Merkava, similar to what Yechezkel saw in his vision. And you have the trees involved, and the trees are going to be singing Shira, light by Maisa Bereshis. Possible, called Ha'ilonis V'omru Shira. The trees started saying a song of praise to Hashem. Ma Shira Omru, what Shira did they say? As we say in Tehillim, Hallelujah Hashem min ha'aretz, praise Hashem from the earth. Taninim, the monster, the sea monster, the Leviathan and everything, v'chol tohomes and all the depths, eight peri v'chol arazim, the fruit trees and all the cedars, and it finishes off Hallelujah. Others say that the song that the trees sang was the psukim, and in Hodu, the posuk in Hodu, then the trees of the forest will sing. So again, the idea is, in other words, that here the trees are evoking Maisa Bereshis. When Hashem first created them, they sang a song of praise to Hashem, and now also they're singing such a song to Hashem that about the Maisa Merkava. Va'af Malach Nenuah. So in Perek Shira, you have other psukim, I think, that it says that the trees say as their Shira, so it's not necessarily the same ones, but yeah. In fact, a malach also spoke up from the fire. This was a malach that was created by the Torah that they were learning. And he confirmed, yes, this is Maisa Merkava. What Rabbi Elazar ben Arach is teaching is indeed the correct understanding of Maisa Merkava. Omer Rabbi Yechim ben Zakkai in a shocker al roshah. Rabbi Yechim ben Zakkai then stood up and kissed Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah on the head. But Omer says, Baruch Hashem alekei Yisrael, blessed is Hashem, the God of Yisrael, Asher nosen ben la'Avram Avinu, who gave a son to our descendants of Avram Avinu, sheyedei lahovin v'lachter v'lidrash, he knows how to understand and to delve into and to investigate the Maisa Merkava ke'alozim ben Arach, that Avram Avinu should be proud of that he has such a descendant. Why doth Avram Avinu? Maushan says, because Avraham Avinu was the first one, he did his own independent research. He discovered the Eveshter all on his own, beginning at 3 years old. And he was saying the same way, Rabbi Lozman Arach did his own research. And not only that, Avraham Avinu wrote Sefer Yetzirah, which is the most fundamental Sefer of Kabbalah. So therefore, which is ultimately Maisa Merkava. So he's attributing that now, Avraham Avinu has a schus that Rabbi Lozman Arach is one of his descendants. And Rabbi Yochanan continues, Yesh na dolish vein noa makayim. Sometimes you have a person who darshins beautifully, but he doesn't actually fulfill it fully. Yesh noa makayim vein noa dolish. Sometimes you have the other way around, a person who fulfills mitzvahs punctiliously, but he doesn't know how to darshin well. Aval ata, Allah's van Aroch, noa dolish vein noa makayim. You, Allah's van Aroch, you know how to darshin beautifully and to fulfill it beautifully. Now, where's the Makayim? Maharsha says, because obviously the very fact that he's able to darshan in Maisa Merkava and not get harmed, and Malachim are coming to listen and confirming and everything, shows that it must be he's Makayim everything that Maisa Merkava entails. So therefore, you can be sure that he's Makayim Pala Tera Kula without anything like it. So he continues, Ashracha Avraham Avinu, Shea Allah Zibana Roch, Yotzmech Halatzecha. How fortunate are you, Avraham Avinu, that Allah Zibana Roch came from your loins, that he's your descendant. You're asking if this is before, so. So now, you think about it, after such a thing, and we have also in this past Shabbos' Pirkei Avos, Allah's Man Arach Kriyas Kulam, and then Shemchwal Dvarav Divreichem, you should expect that we would have Rabbi Allah's Man Arach on every page of Shas. You would expect that you would have, like the way you have his Chavayram, Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua, all over Shas, you should expect you'd have something from him. What happened? Well, we know the famous story, the tragic story in Masechta Shabbos, that he left and moved to a place called Dyumsis, and gradually he forgot that there was a nice place, they had beautiful hot springs and wine and other things, and he figured, the Medrash gives more detail, his wife, and he figured if the other Chachamim need him, because he knows such vast amounts of Torah, then they'll come to him, he doesn't have to leave to come to them, and over time, living over there, he forgot his learning, until the Gemara tells us there came to the point when years later, when his Chavarim visited him, he couldn't even read the words from the Torah properly. He read the words Achodesh Hayalachem, he misread them as Acheresh Hayalib. So it was a tremendous tragedy that we lost what would have been if he hadn't done that. The Gemara in Shabbos brings that as a cautionary tale that you see how careful a person has to be to not get too involved in Taivas of Gashmi, just because you see what happened even to him. Now Marsha's first explanation. Now, usually we understand that happened, and the Medrash seems to say as much, that happened after Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai passed away. That after he passed away, his Chaverim, the other four Talmidim that are mentioned in Pirkei Avos, went to Yavne to continue learning with the Chachamim over there, and at that point, Rabbi Elazar ben Aruch moved to Dyumsis, and everything happened from there. Marsha is learning over here one possibility, that the first explanation that he says is that maybe this whole story happened actually, that maybe that story with Rabbi Elazar ben Aruch forgetting his learning actually happened before, while Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai was still alive, before this whole story over here. So when he says, Tarsheni v'loy melefanecha, please let me tell you over something that I learned previously, it would be that, in fact, previously, when he was still that outstanding Talmid Chacham, the greatest of all, in some ways, of all of Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai's Talmidim, that was when he taught him Ma'aseh Merkabah. Later on, he was saying he forgot his learning. The Chachamim, the Gemara tells in the story in Shabbos over there, that they davened for him to restore what he had forgotten. He still never reached their caliber again, because meanwhile, all those years, they had been going to such and such greater heights. But nevertheless, Marsha says one possibility is this story happened after that. Therefore, now that Hashem had restored what he had forgotten, then he knew the Ma'aseh Merkabah that previously Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai had taught him. Therefore, so at first Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai is saying, how can I teach it to you? You're not Chacham Umeidim Midaita anymore, because you're not of that caliber. But he's saying that, no, you actually taught me before all that happened, before I moved to Dyumsis, and before I forgot my learning, etc. And now I still remember it, and I would like to tell it over. So, yeah. But that's that story, when we put together this Gemara over here, and that Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, with that story in Shabbos, we realize what a tremendous thing was lost as a result of that advice, that he should go to Dyumsis rather than going with the other Chacham to Yavne. He's quoted in Pirkei Avos, he's quoted here. The Pashtus was before, but again, based on what Marsha is saying, that the whole story with him forgetting happened even when Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai was alive, then I don't know. But yeah. Anyway, continues the Gemara. Now, when this whole story of what happened with Rabbi Elazar ben Aruch, Darshaning and Ma'aseh Merkabah and the Malachim coming and so on and so forth, they told it over to Rabbi Yeshua. At that point, he and his chaver, Rabbi Yosi HaKohen, another one of the five Talmidim, were walking on the road. Marsha points out, you see the point that with Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai and Rabbi Elazar ben Aruch, it was only the two of them. And here also, Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Yosi, it's only the two of them. Because, since we said you can't teach Ma'aseh Merkabah only to one Talmud at a time, therefore there couldn't be more people in the entourage, because then they couldn't suggest to teach it in the first place. Anyway, Omru, so they said, Af onu nidush Ma'aseh Merkabah. We should also daushin in Ma'aseh Merkabah. Posach Rabbi Yeshua v'dorash Ma'aseh Merkabah. So sure enough, Rabbi Yeshua started daushining in Ma'aseh Merkabah. V'osayim tkufas tamuz hoisa. It was in the middle of the summer, where it normally never rains or hardly even gets cloudy in Eretz Yisrael. V'niskashu shamayim ba'ovim. But all of a sudden, the sky became cloudy, because it's like Alderach, like Ramat and Torah, where there's choshach onan v'arobel. V'nirasakimin keshes ba'onan. They saw a semblance of a rainbow in the sky. Now, not an actual rainbow, Marsha points out, an actual rainbow we see from other Gemaras is a negative sign. It shows that the world is in danger of another Mabul, but it means Alderach, we find by Yechezkel, we find when he describes the Ma'aseh Merkabah, that he describes the glory of Hashem, of the Odom Shalakiseh, on the Kiseh HaKovod. He says, Kemare Akeshes, it's like a rainbow that you see in the cloud. Later on, in fact, the Gemara is going to mention, at the end, further on in the Sugya, that you're talking not supposed to look at the rainbow because the covered of the Shekhinah appears in it. So here we're saying a semblance of a rainbow appeared, meaning not the kind of rainbow that shows that the Eved is angry at the world, the Niras HaKeshes Ba'anon, but rather a rainbow that shows that the Shekhinah is present. The Malach Hasharis are all gathering around to listen to the Yeshua telling over about the Ma'aseh Merkava. Kibnei Adam Shemiskabtz and Uvoin, like the way that people gather Uvoin and they come Lidus B'Mazmutei Chosin the Kala when they used to see all of the entertainments and the amusements that they do for a chosin or kala, that they do for a chosin kala. That's Rashi explains that, like the entertainments, Ma'usha brings from the Oruch, that it means that the songs that they sing, whatever. The point is, by a chosin, you always have. You have over there in the middle, when there was some chosin or kala, everybody stands around to watch. So the same way the Malach HaSharis are standing around to watch and to listen. So Rabbi Yossi HaKoyin, who was Rabbi Yeshua's audience, goes and tells over to Rabbi Yechaman Zakkai what happened. Omar, Rabbi Yechaman Zakkai says, Ashreichem v'ashrei yeladechem. How happy, how fortunate are you, and how fortunate are your mothers who gave birth to you. Especially with Rabbi Yeshua, by the way. We had at the beginning of this Masechta, the story where Rabbi Yeshua attributes the fact that how did he become such a great Talmid Chacham, because we have a famous story that even while his mother was pregnant with him, she would go around to all the Talmid Chacham and ask for a bracha that her son should grow up to be a Talmid Chacham, and that even when he was a baby, she would take around his carriage to the Batei Medrash so that his lullabies are the words of Torah. And he says that's why when you have by Hakel, so Oma Anoshim Anoshim Batav, Atav Lomabo, and that's a, yeah. So Rabbi Yechaman Zakkai has special reason to say here, and also in Pirkei Avos, on Rabbi Yeshua Asher Yeladeh, because his mother is who made him what he is. But now he's saying on Rabbi Yossi HaKoyin as well. Ashrei Einai Shekach Ro, and Rabbi Yechaman Zakkai says, how fortunate are my eyes that I saw this. What did I, how does Rabbi Yechaman Zakkai see it? He wasn't there. He says, Atani V'atan B'chaloimi, you and I all together, I had a dream, Misubin Hayinu Al Hausinai, we were all reclining together at like a Suda, on Har Sinai, because after all the Neshamas were there at Matan Torah to receive the Torah. So all of us were there receiving these secrets of Torah. V'nosna alenu basko min ha-shamayim, and a basko came out and announced us from Shamayim Ba'omru and said, Alu lakan, come up over here. Traklin dona mochanim lachem, there are big banquet halls prepared for you. Umatsois gdolus mutsois lachem, and there are big couches all set up for you to recline on in a meal. So in other words, like you're invited to this private party for the people who are able to learn Ma'aseh Merkava. Atim b'tamidechem, b'tamidim, tamidechem, and you should know, you and your talmidim, and the talmidim of your talmidim, mizumonin l'kat shlishis. You are all invited to the third group. What do we mean by the third group? There's a lot of different explanations. Maharsha says, based on Yerushalmi, that there are actually seven groups of tzaddikim in front of the Shechina L'Asid Lavan. So we're saying over here that they, and they're compared to the top group, their faces shine like the sun, the second one like the moon, the third one's like the sky, etc. So they're being told that they belong in that third, they belong in that third group. That's how high they elevate themselves. Then there's a number of different other explanations. There's a point that you have three different levels. You have people who learn Torah on a simple level, to understand the Pirush HaMilas. You have people who learn Torah and learn Horois from it for life. And then you have people who learn Sodas HaTorah. So they're being told you're in that third category because you're learning Sodas HaTorah. And then you have different other explanations of what it means, the third group. Another point is also, it means actually, it's you and your Talmidim and your Talmidim's Talmidim. So therefore, you have three generations in succession, and therefore you deserve to be in the third, the highest group, the ones who are able to transmit it even two generations further. So the Gemara says, hey, now is that so? You're telling me that Rabbi Lozman Aroch darshened on Ma'aseh Merkava in front of Rabbi Yechaman Zakkai. But, v'hotanya, we learn in a braisa, Rabbi Yosef, Yehuda Omer, sholosh ha'tzoris hein. We know of three times when there was a lecture in modern Hebrew also, they use the word ha'tza'ah to mean a lecture. There were three times, three presentations or three lectures on Ma'aseh Merkava in successive generations. Rabbi Yossi HaKoyin or Rabbi Yeshua, Hirtzad Vodim Fener Rabbi Yechaman Zakkai. One time Rabbi Yeshua gave a presentation and darshan on Ma'aseh Merkava in front of Rabbi Yechaman Zakkai. The Pashkus that maybe that's the same story that we just had before, where we said Rabbi Yossi HaKoyin was there, but Rabbi Yechaman Zakkai knew about it with Ruach Kodesh, or maybe it means there was another time when he actually darshan it in the flesh in front of Rabbi Yechaman Zakkai. Anyway, Rabbi Akiva Hirtzad Vodim Fener Rabbi Yeshua. Rabbi Akiva gave a presentation on it in front of Rabbi Yeshua. Rabbi Hanin ben Chachinai Hirtzad Vodim Fener and after that, by the way, it's brought after that already, they weren't of the caliber. Maharsha brings from the Yerushalmi, after that they weren't of the caliber in Daitan Nakia, so therefore they weren't able to darshan. Anyway, the point is, now Rabbi Lozman Aroch is not in this list. So where, so how could we say that he daushin in front of Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai? The answer is the list is only including the ones who daushin on it, and it was also daushin in front of him. We're saying, for example, Rabbi Yeshua daushin on it in front of Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai, and Rabbi Akiva daushin in front of him. The outsi, but like outsi kamei, like a choshed. Rabbi Lozman Arach daushin on it in front of Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai, but nobody daushin in front of him. So therefore, he's not on this list. But the Gemara asks, Eini, what do you mean? Rabbi Chaninim and Chachinai, the outsi, like outsi kamei. Rabbi Chaninim and Chachinai was saying that he daushin on it. He didn't, but nobody daushin on it in front of him. Because already, as Marashah says from the Rishami, they were on a lower level after that time. But Kachoshev, and he's still the Rabbi Chaninim and I, was a chaver of Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai. So after that, they went deaf. But Kachoshev, and he's still listed. Elo, the Gemara says, fine. The Outsi, Mir Kamei, Man, the Outsi, have a Kachoshev. Fine, but we're listing Rabbi Chaninim and Chachinai because it completes the list, because he doushin in front of Rabbi Akiva, and so we need to be told Rabbi Akiva not only was he the one who daushin, that he was the one to daushin in front of his Rebbe, Rabbi Yeshua, but also that he was able to be the audience and hear his own Talmud, Rabbi Chaninim and Chachinai, daushining in front of him. So therefore, Rabbi Chaninim and Chachinai has to be listed, even though the chain ends there. But with Rabbi Lozman Arach, we have no reason to list him, because he's not part of such a chain anyway. But that doesn't mean that he didn't actually do it, and in fact, he did do it. Yom Yom Bruchim to you. Yom Yom Mashiach Gula. Yud, what is today? Yud Bezalel. The order of the Gula is going to be, first is going to be Binyan Beis HaMikdash. Then is going to be the Jewish people are going to be taken together out of Golas. And after that is Tchias HaMesim. And Tchias HaMesim is going to be 40 years after Kibbutz Golas. This is, by the way, talking about the Tchias HaMesim for the general run of people. Does bring in other places that there's going to be an earlier Tchias HaMesim for the exceptional tzaddikim. Thus, for example, the Gemara has an expression that Moshe and Aaron are going to be present in that earlier stage, and they're going to be the ones to tell us exactly how to make the part of Adruma and how to get things restarted in the Mishnah. But the general run of people is going to be 40 years afterwards.
Okay.
All right. Continuing on halachas of clothing and what you're allowed and not allowed to wear on Shabbos, we talked about, as far as a handkerchief, what you do with it. And by the way, Rabbi Elzeva mentioned that we have to be careful when it comes to, a lot of times, if people go to the mikvah on Shabbos and afterward they wrap their towel around their neck and they walk home with it. During the winter, that can work. Because during the winter, you need a scarf because it's cold. And therefore, so instead, you're using the towel, the makeshift scarf, then good. But during the summer, you really don't have a reason for that. You would never wear a scarf during the heat of the summer. And therefore, you can't do that then either. If you want to wear the towel home from the mikvah on Shabbos, you would have to find some other way to make it into an actual beged. Maybe you could tie it around your waist and use a makeshift belt, but that, of course, will depend whether you already have a belt on or not. Stitta is another matter. You're allowed to dry yourself with a towel on Shabbos. We're not really concerned that you're going to squeeze out the water, because anyway, it's not like it doesn't absorb that much water in the first place, and it's not like you squeezing it out is going to really gain anything more. Tosfos in some other places discusses, by the way, what about the issue of malabin? Aren't you in effect washing it by having it soak up the water from you? And the answer is that's not derech libur, and that's, you're not making the towel any cleaner by drying yourself with you're making it dirtier. So another halacha about things that you can wear on Shabbos. What about gloves? Now, some say it's mutter to go out with them on Shabbos. Some say it's osur. The Alter Rebbe brings it to Roy Lahachmer, although he says the minig is to be makel. One point being, in other words, because you might need to scratch yourself, or you might need to whatever, and then you're going to take off the gloves and forget and carry it. When you have a muff where you put both hands into it together, then yesh lahokel, then yesh lahokel, because then even if you take it off one hand, you're still wearing it on the other, although even then the Alter Rebbe says where it's not tremendously cold, then it's also good to be machmer with that as well. Another possibility is, which he doesn't mention over here, is you can have the gloves attached to one another, or have them clipped onto your sleeves, as they often do, especially with little kids. And then there's more reason to be makel as well, because then it's the same principle as, for example, you wear, let's say, a coat with a hood, where the hood is thrown back, and it's part of the beggar itself, so therefore there's more room to be makel with that.